this evening. We'll have a word of prayer and get started. Lord, we do love you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Thank you for the opportunity to be here together tonight. Thank you for the cooler weather that's come our way and the rain. And we pray, Lord, that your blessings, Lord, on our time together tonight and the rest of this week. Lord, help us diligently to look for the opportunities not only to pray for one another, but minister and have an opportunity to invite someone to church on Sunday. Lord, again, bless us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Lord. Now, Father, we do ask your blessings upon the reading of your word tonight. May we glean from the scriptures. May we be encouraged. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we strive to serve you as we serve one another here at church and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have your Bibles tonight. We'll be in Proverbs. I think I do have most of the verses there in the handout, but we'll be in Proverbs, the beginning here chapter number 15. And we continue with the aspect of Proverbs on acceptance or approval. And we've been talking about the acceptance and approval of God. We'll finish that section tonight, and we'll go into another section next week on the acceptance and approval of man. Quick recap. Remember, there's a great need for acceptance and approval in society today, and the shame of it is that so many will seek a total stranger on social media to get that acceptance or approval. So, dear friends, if you seek God's approval and acceptance, then the book of Proverbs offers practical insights about the approval of God. Proverbs also warns us about the approval of men, and we'll get to that next week. But we started off some weeks ago on the acceptance and approval of God. We talked about wisdom. We talked about accurate weights. We talked about integrity and uprightness. We talked about the humble. We talked about the good man. And we talked about mercy and truth. And we ended up last week on faithfulness. And tonight we'll look at a couple more. Letter H, or the next thing, is waiting on the Lord in prayer is his delight. Waiting upon the Lord in prayer is his delight. If you're like me, waiting can be hard. I don't care if it's waiting on the ice to water to freeze, if it's waiting on a doctor's appointment, if whatever it is, waiting sometimes can be hard, but it is his delight, especially when it has to do with prayer. Proverbs 15:8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You see, the prayers of those who are upright or righteous are a delight in the Lord. As we think of that aspect, every time that we pray, we're pleasing God. Every time we bow our heads to communicate with our Lord, we're pleasing him. The word delight means here, it comes from a root word or Hebrew word, favor, acceptance, or delight. See, the Lord delights in hearing from us, especially when we are obeying him and doing his will. Picture this example. I know you can do the same thing. I can always tell when Michelle answers the phone when it's one of the kids, because her face just lights up, hearing from the kids, hearing from the grandkids. I think it gets even brighter and bigger when it's the grandkids that call her. So can you imagine, again, that delight? That's how the Lord feels when we say Lord in prayer, when we go before him to communicate with him. See, many do not get their prayers answered because they live in a sinful, rebellious life that shuts the Lord out. But what's so alarming, then they have the audacity to ask God to solve their problems and to clean up their messes when they get into trouble, when they have repeatedly ignored him over and over again. Remember, we want to delight him. If we want to get on and stay on praying ground with the Lord, you need to stay on top of any sin issues in your life. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to start there. That's the first place to start. Anytime we counsel with anyone and they're concerned about their prayer life, a good question is to ask, well, are you saved? Does the Lord even know you? Remember when the phone rings and the caller ID says unknown? I know who it is. It's a telemarketer. And dear friends, what do our own friends think when they're talking to God and they have no relationship with him? They're not saved. It's unknown. And I know it's a little hard, but it is scriptural. God loves those who follow righteousness. The next verse there in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse number 9, the Bible says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. when we look to at the prayer life of a godly mother, a godly grandmother, a godly parent who relentlessly prays for their children, we see the power and obvious delight in the Lord in the prayers of the upright. Often wayward children of godly parents, wayward children in general, but especially of godly parents, think they have sinned too much to return. And that's just a lie and trick of the devil. And I'm so grateful for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and all that pray for their children. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool." Praise God for prayer warriors and answered prayers. What I count it a blessing when I know that I have friends that talk to God that I can call. I can communicate with prayer warriors and know when they are going to bombard the throne of grace on the behalf of the petition that I share with them. Waiting on the Lord in prayer is His delight. And the next, or letter I, a good wife is favored by the Lord. Ladies, amen? A good wife is favored by the Lord. I found this part very interesting, and I'll share a verse here in a few moments. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." See, it is understood in this proverb that the wife is a good wife and not just any kind of wife, because some of the wives can be a curse instead of a blessing. To find a good wife, the Bible says, is favor and approval of God. The wording, especially in the Hebrew language, is strikingly resembles here from Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 8:35. Notice here again in Proverbs 18:22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord." Proverbs 8:35 says, "For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." So this suggests, after wisdom itself, gentlemen, that the best of God's blessing is a good one, a good wife. Amen. I mean, that's right next to that relationship with the Lord. The Lord felt this was so important that He created Eve for Adam from Adam's rib. A lengthy passage, and running out of room, so I don't know if I put it in your handout, but it's there in Genesis 2, and I'll read it, verse 21 through 25. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took up one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my flesh, and bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Brother Mel, I don't think it says woman in the Hebrew. I think it says, whoa, man, when he named woman. Yes, he said, "She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." A wonderful wife is a treasure that is far above rubies, gold, or silver, especially when she has a love for God and a love for her husband, and I added this on, and puts up with him. Puts up with us, gentlemen. The man that has a wife understands exactly what I mean. Yes, we do put up with one another. It's give or take, but what a joy. On the other hand, I had to have a little fun with this. On the other hand, a treacherous woman can be like a nightmare on Elm Street. A wife that has the nickname Freddy, you know why. Had to have a little fun with this. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 9. If you don't know that reference, see me after church. See Kevin, he's laughing the hardest. Proverbs 21:9. "It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house." If the wife becomes bitter, oh, my brother finally got it. If the wife becomes bitter, cold, uncaring, or unfaithful, she creates distress and distractions for her husband. Her bitterness or coldness may be caused by sin that has gripped her heart or by the husband that has been acting like a jerk. When husbands are harsh, impatient, Selfish, they create emotional barriers for their wife, for their helpmates. Like flowers that have been damaged by rough monsoon weather, the tender emotions of a wife can be bruised or scarred by a rough husband. If you have bruised your wife physically or emotionally, then seek her forgiveness. Give her time to emotionally heal. In most cases, it takes time for her spirit to trust you and to open back up to you. God's plan for the wife is to be an encouragement and help to her husband. And that is why a good wife, as Proverbs says, a man who findeth a good wife findeth a good thing. Again, God's plan is to be that encouragement. Men need attention, affection, and honor. Yes, we can be high maintenance. A wise wife will endeavor to meet those daily needs. Some of the cockiest men that I've ever met are very insecure men. Behind men that have accomplished great things or have become very successful have a very supportive and loving and caring wife in the background. The encouragement of a wife can encourage a man to be his best. I don't know if you want to call it encouragement or if you want to call it, well, she was a helpmate. But I can guarantee you many a days, my senior years of Bible college, after long weekends and getting through Greek and Hebrew and advanced theology, Michelle had to use water or spray gun in my face to wake me up on some of those Monday mornings when I thought I was done. I thought I was toast. Get out of bed. I've invested 3 years into you. You're going to graduate. Get up. You got class in an hour and a half. Get up. You got to get ready. It's a good wife. It's a good thing. Amen. No, I'm up early on Sunday, raring to go. Again, Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is rottenness to his bones. Dear friends, finding a wife is a good thing and approved by God. Again, a good wife. Some men want a wife but cannot find one. I got to have a little more fun here because outstanding women can be very hard to find. Solomon spoke about this in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Men also find it difficult to find a wife because they are stuck on themselves and their pride sometimes may repulse good women. Men that are lazy and cannot take care of themselves will struggle to find a wife. How can a man take care of a wife if he can't take care of himself? Other men struggle to find a wife because they want to marry someone who's running for Miss America. Gentlemen, you are not going to win Mr. America, so don't set the bar so high. I would love to have a crowd of young men from their early teens to their mid-20s and preach this message. Sometimes our standards of beauty are so high that even Miss America can't reach the bar. Gentlemen, there is more to finding a wife than just beauty, even though it is important. Yes, there needs to be attraction, but things like character, wisdom, humor, joyfulness, godliness, common sense, a great personality, and being able to communicate to others those things that are important, but elements in finding a wife should be biblical based and not just what's appealing to the flesh. If you want a wife, make sure your relationship with the Lord is right. I remember when I was in Bible college, one of our missions professors, Dr. Dan Truax, I've referred to him a few times. He's a gentleman that had the journals lined up on his wall, What God Told Me Today. He was giving some of the freshmen a hard time because some of the freshmen were in college where they were there to get an education, but some of them wanted a wife so bad they couldn't stand it. And then some guys that were there their junior and senior year and still haven't been even on a date or courted anyone yet. And Brother Truax was poking at some of them, giving a hard time, saying, look, guys, you're here to serve God. I don't care if she's ugly as a mud fence. If she loves God and is willing to go to Africa, hitch up and go. He said, you pray for a godly wife. Pray for a gal who wants to serve the Lord and wants to serve alongside of you, and God will provide everything else. Secondly, again, if you want a wife, make sure her relationship with the Lord is right, your relationship. Secondly, pray and ask the Lord to direct you in the right to the right woman for you. Proverbs 19:14. A prudent wife is from the Lord. The acceptance and approval of God. Waiting on the Lord in prayer is his delight. A good wife is favored by the Lord. And then letter J, the last one, practicing justice and judgment over sacrifice. Practicing justice and judgment over sacrifice. Proverbs 21 and verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. See, the Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer sacrifices. So often people have the idea, I think it was Judson Taylor, I can't remember. We get the erroneous idea that God is looking for godly people to serve him. I'll be honest with you. God is looking for obedient people to serve him. The rest will fall in place. He's looking for obedient people. So make sure that we're striving to be obedient unto the Lord and not just the aspect of justice and judgment. Godly living in obedience to the Word of God or a demonstration of what has taken place in our hearts. Again, the Lord is pleased when we do what is right and just, then we offer him great sacrifices. Godly living is what God wants from us. It is the key reason why the Macedonian Christians were such a powerful blessing to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this they did, referring to the Macedonians, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and into the will of God. You see, the Macedonian Christians gave themselves to the Lord first. That's one thing we'll learn. It's such, so important to learn. If God already has us, he has everything we own. He has everything in our pocket, in our pocketbook. He has our talents and our abilities, and we just need to give them over to him to use for his glory. This aspect is stressed repeatedly throughout the Bible, and our compliance to Christ is evident of our love for him, and we'll close out with these several verses. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 22. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken unto fat of rams." John 14:15. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Matthew 23:23. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cunum, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Micah 6, verse 6 through 8. "Wherewithal shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn of my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Hosea 6:6. "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." Next week, as I mentioned, we'll go a little further and talk about acceptance and approval of men. So if we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in doing and doing and doing for the Lord as a path to expect, am I obeying him in other areas? We can be fully obedient in doing and doing and doing in servitude and service to others, but are we obedient to him in that relationship with him in prayer, in the word, in that relationship? He wants us obedient to him, and that is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And to do that, that means spending time with him. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do love you, and again, we are so grateful for all that you have done. Thank you for your sacrifice, that we may have eternal life. Now, Father, help us, Lord, as we continue to serve you, as we serve one another, and to serve our community. Help us to strive to do all we can in that aspect of faith, family, and fellowship, that we might honor thee in that which we say and that which we do. And Father, help us to remember that the acceptance that we seek and the approval that we need is found in you. And Father, help us not to get caught up with all the other things looking for approval of man. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. Thank you for your provisions and blessings, and may we glorify you and during our time of fellowship and through the rest of our week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, God bless you, and the Lord loves you. If I can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask.